the way.
Equipping the saints with sound biblical instruction.
This is the way. The way. 101.1.
Current events,
personal values,
political and social issues,
technology, wars, and tensions.
Join us for the next hour to discuss and learn how the things happening in our world today point to God's prophetic word as signs of the times.
Follow the signs. Open your eyes. Read between the lines of what you see. Look into the soul of reality. Open your mind. Look at the sign. Never look back at yesterday. Keep your gaze steady on the narrow way.
Iran, Hamas, Qatar, Egypt, China, the U.S., and Israel have all entered the prophecy chat. God's word will enter the chat, too, as we talk about everything going on in the Middle East. We'll also talk about what's the world's biggest threat. Jewish hatred is getting worse. The corruption of minds and bodies is getting worse, too. Plus, a prayer request for you as we explore the signs of the times. Our weekly review of Bible prophecies and the world's news for Friday, February 2nd, 2024. Bob Johnson Insurance, a full-service independent agency featuring Erie Insurance products, would like to enter your family's chat when it comes to figuring out your insurance needs. For a no-obligation quote, you can call them by phone at 865-922-3111 or visit them online at bobjohnsonins.com. Hey, it's Signs of the Times anytime. You can hear us, see us, or share us. Ask Pastor Mark a prophecy question or subscribe to our podcast when you visit thewaymedia.net, then click Signs of the Times, or you can do the same on the Way Media app. And now, here to remind us that if you pamper a cow, you're only going to get spoiled milk is Pastor Mark, who doesn't want to brag, but he recently got hired as a fitness model. Although he was a bit disappointed because they only wanted to use him as the before picture. So
that would work. That actually would work. Right? Remember what was it Gail used to say, part of the fitness protection program?
Oh, that's funny. I like that. The fitness protection program.
Yeah, that's right. And I see too that today's theme is chat. You said chat several times. I don't know if there's any other chat.
No, I don't. I don't know.
It was just there.
All right, and it was, I guess, low hanging fruit.
That's
could
all
be,
right.
Could be rotten fruit. I have no idea, but that's what we went with.
There
so
you go.
We have got a boatload.
Yes, we do.
A prophecy boatload of articles today. So here we go. Our first article comes from Fox News. That says Iranian proxies are stepping up their drone attacks with Israel.
Yes, and of course, it's good to be back. Let me just say that. I hope you enjoyed the show last week. We had a special show.
Yes, speaking of Israel, yes, let's pause for a minute.
Yeah.
If you did not catch last week's show,
yes.
We encourage you, go back and watch it. Ronnie Simon, Israeli tour guide and citizen, former military member in the Israeli military.
Yes.
Just the passion, the love, the education you're going and insight you're going to get on what really happened from October 7th on and the history of Hamas in Gaza.
Yeah.
And everything is nothing. These things are not what you're going to hear in your mainstream media.
That's right. It's definitely worth going back to see. But anyway, getting to the article,
yes,
here, Greg, it talks about when Hamas terrorists used remote-controlled drones to disarm tanks and knock out surveillance cameras during a surprise attack on Israel through to the last week when a Hezbollah drone from Lebanon landed directly in an army base in northern Israel. Unmanned aerial vehicles, UAVs, are increasingly becoming part of the weapons arsenal used by Iranian-backed non-state players in their war against the Jewish state. While Israel has in place what it calls an aerial defense array, which, by the way, they're using lasers now successfully. They've knocked out, I think, their first incoming with lasers. So it's pretty cool, the technology they have now.
Yeah, and I'm hearing that our U.S. Navy is deploying those things on ships
as well.
Yeah,
pretty cool. Wow. I mean, we're into the Star Trek age here. Used multiple times over the past 3 months to thwart hostile aircraft from Gaza and Lebanon. As UAVs become more easier to obtain, that's the key here, to manufacture and to enhance and weaponize, especially when ours land in Iran and they take them, which has happened several times. as well as other countries around the world getting them, they're racing to contend with an ever more lethal form of combat that is already outpacing existing military defense systems. Look, here's the deal on this. These what's happening is it's a new level of warfare, Greg. There's something new going on here. Used to it was like, okay, only the big players had these special technologies. America, Israel, some of the others had the drones, had the special technologies. Well, now, so many drones have been captured that have crashed or fallen. They've been replicated. They've had their scientists on them. Now they're making all these drones like crazy, and they're sending drones in for warfare. So now it's almost like part of the advantage is now gone. And even though there's other military advantages that America, and in this case, Israel has, you know, once you get drone technology that can start coming in and surprise you, then you can do more damage. So this thing just got turned up a notch. It's not just lesser powers fighting larger powers. It's now lesser powers with an ability to inflict some pain on the larger powers. And that's changing the overall mix of what's going on in the Middle East and around the world, which again makes things a lot more dangerous. But that's the age we're in right now.
Yeah. All right. Our next article comes from Israel 365 News. This is dated back from January 17th. So some of these articles we're going to cover because we weren't here last week are going to be a little bit older, but still relevant to discuss. And this article talks about that a Hamas spokesman has come out and said that the October 7th attack was launched to stop the Red Heifers.
Yeah.
This is very... Would they even have an inkling of what the Red Heifers are about?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Let me read a little bit of the article. Yeah. Let's talk about this for a minute. Again, the Hamas spokesman gave a rare speech on the 100th day anniversary of the war against Israel. In the speech, he cited the arrival of the Red Heifers in Israel as one of the motives, not the motive.
And they came back in September, right? They were delivered in September of last year?
No, they've been there longer than that.
Have they? Okay.
Matter of fact, in just a few weeks, they reached the 3-year mark and they're going to sacrifice the first one. They're still pure.
Wow.
So we're a few weeks away from having the ritual purity heifer for the temple the temple to be rebuilt or the services to start again for the priests.
Okay.
Let me finish this. We'll talk about that. So again, it was one of the motives for the massacre on Jews of October 7th, he said. The spokesman Abu Dah, the spokesman for the Al-Qassam Brigades, the military wing of the Palestinian Hamas terrorist organization, made a televised appearance on that day to say again that one of the reasons that they attacked, not the soul, but one reason was the Red Heifers. He said, and I quote, "We look back to remember the educated, the complicit, and the incapacitated among the world powers governed by the law of the jungle, reminding them of an aggression that reached its peak against our path, Al-Quds, and the Al-Aqsa, with the start of its actual temporal and spatial division and the bringing of red cows, heifers, as an application of a detestable religious myth." They're saying that Israel never existed. They never had a red heifer. They called it a myth.
Then why would you fight against a myth?
Well, let's go on. Designed for aggression against the feelings of an entire nation and the heart of its Arab identity. It knows the land belongs to us, and they're just making this up.
Right.
And the path of its prophet, the night journey of Muhammad, the ascension to heaven. Here's what's going on. Okay, look, yes, they know very much about the regulations, the laws, and the traditions of Israel, Greg. They know it. They know it well. They lived among it. They've been there for, you know, all these years as well. And so they know what's going on, but what they're trying to do is pretend it never happened. What do you mean, red heifers? That means nothing. It's a myth. There's never been a temple. Israel's never been here till 1948. There were no red heifers. There's nothing you need to restart again. It's all just whatever. You're trying to take our land. You're trying to pretend you were here. You're trying to whatever. It's just big, you know, just lies. You know about gaslighting.
This term is
being used so much now that has it been worn out? But this is massive gaslighting. It's making it look like somehow Israel's not been there for thousands of years, that the tradition of the red heifers have not been a part of the temple sacrifice. And so there's a couple things. First of all, the denial that Israel even has been there or this has ever happened has to be important politically. And secondly, Greg, they fear this because they know that when they get the red heifer, this means now they're going to be emboldened to try to start the sacrifices again. Let me explain to our listeners the importance of the red heifer.
Yes.
What God said in his word was, you've got to find a spotless red heifer to sacrifice and burn and take the ashes. And the ashes then have to be mixed in the water that the priests do their ritual cleansing with before they can do their services in the temple or the tabernacle or whatever there is there at that time, which would be the tabernacle or the temple. So they're first of all denying that it ever happened and it's just a big thing, fake or whatever. But if this happens, see, they have been looking, Greg, for a long, long time. I mean, I don't know if I can say since 1948. I forget when the actual searches began. But many, many years, the religious Jews have been saying, we have to get another heifer and sacrifice it because here's the deal. until you can get a pure heifer, and it can't have two white hairs. It can't have two black hairs. I mean, it's got to be, I think maybe one is okay, or one black, but it can't have two.
It can't have any piercings either, and that's an important point.
That is so cool to bring up.
Yes,
because,
go ahead.
All the cattle, or at least outside of Israel, are pierced in their ear as a marking. America requires that. It's a piercing to mark the cattle, to show who it belongs to, et cetera.
Tagged.
Because there's a lot of rustling that goes on, and so they want to keep up with that, you know, as far as horses and cattle.
Yeah.
Well, because of COVID.
They were born during that time.
Yes, because of COVID, they were not allowed. They didn't go out and they didn't get to mark everything.
Yeah, the vets didn't travel.
And again, I haven't verified this, but I heard this yesterday. So don't quote me on this yet. But it's my understanding that it's well, I know this for a fact. It's very hard to bring an animal, a heifer, from America over into Israel. All the regulations of bringing another animal, just like you have like fruits and all that.
Yes,
there are all these regulations you have to meet. And one of the comments I heard this Jewish guy make was, he said, well, you can't bring a heifer over legally. So we brought five. We didn't bring a heifer over. We brought five over. So we're legal. Again, I don't know if that's really what happened or not, but it made me laugh. Either way, that's the kind of stuff they
do. Yeah.
Anyway, they had brought five over. One or two of them, at least one for sure, was already disqualified because as they grow, they develop different blemishes or whatever. But now they're within just a few weeks of having, I think, more than one ready, and all they need is one, because when you burn that heifer, there all the ashes that lasts a long time.
It's the entire animal. You remove nothing.
Yes, and so far in Jewish history, there have been 9 red heifers. So that tells you over the thousands of years, they've only needed 9.
Right.
So it shows you how long it lasts.
Yeah.
Well, now they have the 10th one, which would be this one, the 10th heifer, which, by the way, is the number of divine order.
See, I was going to ask you. I was going to ask you about that.
It is. Number 10 is divine order in Scripture. 12 is divine government. I mean, it's perfect government, whatever. But divine order is 10. This will be the 10th red heifer. It is still spotless. They plan in a few weeks to sacrifice it, and they'll have the ashes. And then what that means is this. They may not have a temple yet. They may not have everything ready to go on the Temple Mount, but now they're ready once it happens.
Right.
And remember, according to the Talmud, I say remember,
read it all the time. Yes.
I don't know whether or not this is going to be accurate. I don't see anything in the Bible about it. But the Jews believe this. So get this. They believe that the tabernacle has to be put back up. Okay. At some point before the third temple is built. Okay. So the Talmud apparently talks about that. The tabernacle being placed again before the third temple. That's exactly logical in that it'll take them at least 6 months to build that third temple once they get the go-ahead.
Right.
It would appear in Scripture that they start the sacrifices right away from the book of Daniel in this third temple. So if that's the case, I always thought, well, they'll just go up there. Now they have the ashes to do the sacrifices. They'll start doing the sacrifices. And I thought they'd just do them up there while they're building the temple. But now, at least the Jews believe, and they'll probably be pushing for this, it could be, Greg, they'll actually put a tabernacle like was in the wilderness in place on the Temple Mount first while they're sacrificing the animals, while the temple's being rebuilt. And then once the temple's built, they take the tabernacle down, and now you've got the third temple that's in place.
You know, it's God's timing in all of this is very interesting, because how long have they been hunting for a red heifer?
Oh.
And how God is, I've got to believe it's only the Lord himself that's prevented these red heifers from being born or being born and being without blemish.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, and then finding them, et cetera.
Yeah.
So why would they be so opposed to it, even denying it exists? Because it's a threat, Greg. They realize if they get this, they're going to start pushing for sacrifices.
For even more.
And you don't just sacrifice anywhere.
Nope.
The Temple Mount, the priests, they wash in the water that has the ashes of the heifer.
Yeah.
And so this is a major threat to Satan.
Yes.
And so he's the one that's stirring all this kind of whatever, because again, even though Satan is going to abuse the third temple and the Antichrist will declare from it that he's God, so he'll use it for his own purposes, it still means we're that much closer to his end coming. And the Bible says when Satan recognizes his end's coming, he panics and he just pours out everything he can to try to stop it, but he can't stop it. And so it's
interesting.
Yeah, very, very interesting. So keep your eyes on this. I think within a few weeks to a month, we should be hearing the red heifer has been sacrificed. And now they have what they need for the priest to begin officiating, because it's really to officiate in the temple. They have to be Levitically clean, so they put it in the water, they wash their feet and their hands in the water, they're now Levitically clean before God to go in and do the services of the tabernacle or the temple, and again, or the sacrifices. And so I think it's just another sign, Greg, of how close we are to the Antichrist and the last days. Everything is falling into place. And with all this going on with Gaza and Hamas, this may be pulled in into the negotiations because they keep touting the two-state solution, which Israel is adamant, we will not do. Who wants to live next door to those guys?
Right.
But if they say, okay, we'll put a buffer zone, you give them a state, you can have part of the Temple Mount. I mean, this could be the beginning of negotiations that could lead to this, and it all fall into place very, very quickly. So exciting prophetic news.
Well, we're going
to
talk about that right now because our next article, before we get to the one that really talks about what Netanyahu has to say about all that, this is from Breitbart.com, dated January 21st. The Biden administration, along with Qatar, Egypt, and who knows who else, are proposing a hostage deal where Israel loses the war.
Yeah.
And that's the title of this article.
Yeah, the bottom line is they're not going to let them finish it. That's what they're trying. Now, we'll see if Israel goes along. But again, it says the proposal is a three-stage process. It was described Sunday in the Wall Street Journal, which appears to rely heavily on sources inside U.S. national security agencies, leaving Israel without destroying Hamas and would defeat Israel's central goal in the war. So we're not going to let you win this thing, but we'll bring in something that makes you feel better. So far, Netanyahu is holding his course and saying, no way, we're not going for this. I don't know if he'll give in or not, but the journal wrote this. Says the mediators have proposed a 90-day plan that would first pause fighting for an unspecified number of days for Hamas to first release all Israeli civilian hostages, while Israel would release hundreds of Palestinian prisoners, withdraw forces from Gaza towns and cities, allow freedom of movement in the Gaza Strip, end the drone surveillance of Gaza, and double the amount of aid going into the enclave, according to the plan. So basically handing victory to Hamas.
Sure.
In the second phase, Hamas would free female Israeli soldiers and turn over the bodies, while Israel would release more Palestinian prisoners. That is all that they've already killed. A third phase would involve the release of Israeli soldiers and fighting-age men Hamas considers soldiers, according to the Egyptian officials, while Israel would redeploy some of its forces outside of the current border. Now, is this going to happen? I don't know. This is like the third or fourth one they've brought forward to try to present, and Israel has said, no, we're not doing it. Are they going to hold their ground? We'll find out, but keep your eye on this. Very, very interesting.
Okay. All right, our last article in the Israel category comes from the Times of Israel, quoting Netanyahu, no full Palestinian state, no surrender in exchange for the Gaza hostages.
Yeah, so this plan comes out, you know, and again, you know, you have him saying this at the same time. They're just a few days apart. He's saying, you know, we're not going to do this. The Palestinian state, that is. I don't think he's come out yet and said we'll deny the plan for, you know, the peace thing, because I think that was 3 days after this article. But at the same time here, Greg, what he's talking about is, here's why they say no Palestinian state. I want our listeners to understand why they're saying that. This is not an obstinance by Netanyahu or the Jews. These are the people that raped and murdered brutally their families in their homes, who's saying we want to everybody recognize us legally to live next door to you. So understand, it would be like your next door neighbor. It would be like some people came into your home, raped your wife, killed her, raped her kids, killed them, pulled them in the oven, cooked them, cut their heads off, cut their hands, all these brutal things they did to them, which happened, and we have documentation. And then they go to city council in Knoxville, and city council says, look, let's just develop a truce here. Let's call it even. Okay, call it even. And they want the house next door to you as a place to live. They need a place to live. Maybe if they had a place to live, they wouldn't have done that to your family. I don't know. But we're going to give them a place right next to your house. What do you think your response would be? There is no way.
Yeah.
They should not only be put to death for what they've done to my family, but there's no way I'm going to give them a place to live next door to me. So now you understand the attitude of what's happening here with the Palestinians next door to the Jews. What a lot of people don't understand, Greg, is that when the I'll put army in quotes, came in and did these things to the Jews October 7th, the civilians came in as well, and the civilians came in after the army killed the people. They've had on video. They went into their homes, took their food, were eating while they were laying there bleeding to death. They helped kill people. They kidnapped some and took them back. It was a community effort against Israel. It wasn't just their army. And so that brings in that whole innocent civilian thing. I'm not saying there aren't some there, but I'm saying the majority of those in Palestine went along with this. Palestine in Gaza went along with this and even helped. So with that said, there's no way they want to give them a state because they don't want to live next door to them. So the prime minister pushed back on the White House vision, it says, on the pathway to a two-state solution. Again, this is not obstinance. It is logic. And the reports of a grand bargain that would end the war. A U.S. President Joe Biden administration called for the war against Hamas to wind down alongside a pathway toward a two-state solution at the end of the fight. So these two articles go together. Israel's leadership presented a vision at odds with that on Sunday. Prime Minister Netanyahu doubled down in a video message and said, you know what, we're determined not to allow a full-fledged militarized Palestinian state to emerge. We're not going to go along with this. And I quote, I will not compromise on full Israeli security control over all the territory west of the Jordan River, echoing the recent comments. As long as I'm prime minister, I will continue to firmly stand by this, he pledged, boasting that he withstood the international and domestic pressure over the years to move forward on a two-state solution. So, again, right now they're holding their ground, but will they give in? I believe at some point, Greg, there's going to be some type of a negotiation with the Antichrist of dividing the land up, just because that's what it appears is going to happen. Joel talks about dividing the land and God judging him for dividing the land. So you could argue that that's already taken place. You could argue that. But it could also mean there's going to be something happening later. In addition to that, what are they going to negotiate? If they don't negotiate giving up land to get the Temple Mount, and I believe that has to be a part of something, they've got to get part of the Temple Mount back, and they've got to give and take both sides. And I think this is going to be a part of the equation. Only time will tell. But right now, I can tell you, they are saying no way, Jose. Even the believing Jews right now that know the Lord, they're saying there's no way we'll do a two-state solution. And yeah. I don't know whether or not they're keeping in sight what could happen with the Antichrist, right, or if they don't think that'll even be a part of the Antichrist. I don't know. Time will tell. But I can see why they don't want to do it.
Last week when Ronnie Simon was here, and this is really, I'm going to speak to the people that are subscribed to the audio-only version of our podcast. If you want to listen to Ronnie's talk on Israel from October 7th, I encourage you to do it on thewaymedia.net. And why is this? Because you're going to get the video part where you're going to see Ronnie's slides.
Yeah.
And it's chock full of wonderful information that is so important for everyone to understand to get the complete picture. And speaking of a two-state solution, one of the things that Ronnie talked about that people may or may not know, unless you're a real historian of the Jews and especially the reformation of Israel in the 1940s, is that somewhere around 48, 47, I don't remember when it was, and I don't remember when Ronnie said it was, but before the foundation of the nation of Israel in front of the United Nations, the Jews had apparently agreed to a two-state solution, and it was the Arabs that rejected it.
That's true, and I think it was 1947,
okay,
and
seven.
Then in 48, since they rejected it, in 48, they decided we're just going to declare ourselves a nation and take our portion.
Okay.
They weren't trying to take it all, just the portion that the world and the UN everybody agreed to. We'll take our portion and call ourselves Israel. If you guys don't want your portion, that's fine, but we're going to take our portion. That's what started the war where they all attacked them, and then Israel got more war because, I mean, got more land because God allowed them to have the victory.
Yeah.
And Greg, listen, this has happened several times where they've turned down. It was, the PLO, Yasser Arafat, they were offering him almost 98% of everything he wanted in the deal he was talking about. He still rejected it. And that happened just a few years back before he died. I mean, 30 years back, whatever.
Right.
20, 30 years.
Yeah.
Anyway, but why did he reject it? Because it's the same reason they did in 47, the same reason they did then, and at least one other time in between there. They don't want Israel to have any land. They want them totally destroyed
annihilated.
And
yes.
gone. So it doesn't matter if they gave them if you drew up all the lines and you said, we're giving you more land than Israel
right.
and we'll give you whatever, they still wouldn't do it. They're not going to do it. They want all of it. That's the whole river to the sea chant.
Yes.
From the Jordan to the Mediterranean, we want these guys taken out of here. And it's, Greg, it is a spiritual battle. It is demonic, and it is Satan's hatred of the nation of Israel, but God is going to get the victory.
Yeah. Amen. All right, let's look at some Ezekiel 38 and 39 news from Fox News. This is dated January 17th. Iran warns that the attacks on Israel and the U.S. will continue as long as the IDF remains in Gaza.
Yeah, they're going to anyway, but they're acting like that this is some reason. Foreign Minister Hussein Amir said the attacks would halt if Israel withdraws its forces. Iran and its proxy terrorist groups have attacked Israeli and U.S. targets more than 100 times since mid-October, and we know there were three killed just last week where they attacked our base, and threatening to widen Israel's war against Hamas into a regional conflict. And a quote, here's what he's saying, which is nonsense, because if there's any genocide, it's what the Palestinian peoples want to do to Israel. It says, at the end of the genocide in Gaza, which it's not, will lead to an end of military action and crisis in the region. He said at the World Economic Forum in Davos, the security of the Red Sea is tied to the developments in Gaza, and everyone will suffer if Israel's crimes in Gaza do not stop. Iran deployed one of its Navy vessels to the Red Sea earlier this month, and the Iran-backed Houthi rebels of Yemen have also launched dozens of missile and drone attacks against international trade vessels in the Red Sea. So the bottom line is they're going to continue to attack. They're acting like somehow Israel could dissuade that, or America, depending on what we do. No, they're going to do it no matter what. And, you know, it's I think we have some articles this week about Hezbollah, so I'll wait to share some of that. But there's some more information. You know, I look at some of the articles, I forget what's in here, but some interesting things. They don't want peace. They want war.
Yes. They don't want P-E-A-C-E.
That's right.
They want P-I-E-C-E.
This piece, that piece. Until we get all the pieces. That's what they want. That's the piece they're after.
Yes. All right. Neil Diamond is beckoning us to come back to America, so we will, where we visit Fox News. To see that our good friend Bernie Sanders is trying to force a Senate vote on a resolution that could freeze aid to Israel.
Now, that
was dated January 16th. So,
yeah.
Is there an update to this?
It hasn't happened.
Okay.
It hasn't happened, or we'd have heard about it. But here's the bottom line. Bernie Sanders has been an enemy of Israel for a long time. But again, remember, it's not so much Israel. This is a spiritual battle.
Yes.
Bernie Sanders is fighting against God. He has been for a long time. And so his fight against God, of course, is going to be pointed toward Israel because that's where Satan's fight is. So it's not so much Bernie Sanders as the enemy working through him. But the Senate was to vote on the resolution. It has not passed, or we'd have heard about it. But he's trying to basically say, you know what, look, one quote here. He says, this is a humanitarian cataclysm in Gaza, and it's being done with American bombs and money. We need to face up to the fact, and then we need to end our complicity in those actions, he said in his statement. No, it's not. This is self-defense. A nation that they're trying to wipe them out. They're defending their families, their friends, their wives, their children. And this guy's just led of the enemy, if you will. You're going to hear more of this from Bernie Sanders and everybody else, the squad, as they call them. You know,
yes.
You're going to hear several people. That doesn't surprise me. I know they're going to continue to do this. I don't think God's going to allow that to happen, at least yet. I think we're going to continue to send the aid in there. But you're going to see these continual battles because it's spiritual against Israel.
All right, we're going to take a break. We're staying in America, but we're going to take a break from all the Israel stuff to talk about an article that was published by VA News, which is the Veterans Administration.
Yes.
And to improve care for veterans, the VA is to fund studies on new therapies for treating mental health conditions. And on the surface, the article title sounds fine until you read the details.
Yeah, they're just getting them on psychedelic drugs, which we'll have a scripture for that in a moment. It says today the Department of Veterans Affairs issued a request for applications for proposals from its network of VA researchers in collaboration with academic institutions to study the use of certain psychedelic compounds. There you go. We're talking stuff like, LSD is a psychedelic.
Right.
Again, in treatment of these post-traumatic stress disorder and depression. In other words, get them high and they'll forget about it. Through this new research opportunity, the VA intends to gather definitive scientific evidence on the potential efficacy and safety of psychedelic compounds such as, and this word is like so long, methamphetamine. I said it took me forever, but there you go.
Wow,
something
very
like
good.
Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
That's what I was just going to say.
Yeah, they're going to be giving them supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
By Julie Andrews.
Yes, and psilocybin, which was used in conjunction with psychotherapy to treat veterans with PTSD and depression. This is the first time since the 1960s there's been the funding for research on such psychedelic compounds. Well, the reason why is it's ridiculous. It is tragic. You're taking people that already have all these mental issues, and now they're really going to mess their brain up when they're going to see like walking mushrooms and frogs talking to them and all this kind of stuff and freak them out. It's crazy. It's just another way to abuse the medical profession and call it something that it's not. This is going to be awful. And I hope that those involved in the VA, if you have PTSD, if they try to offer you these things, run. You have enough issues that you're fighting with right now trying to handle from just what you've been through in battle for them to mess it up with psychedelic drugs. But, Greg, it reminds me again of Revelation 9:21, where in the last days it said they did not repent of their murders or their pharmakias and sexual immorality and thefts. We're going to see a greater and greater use of drugs and a pushing of drugs, the Bible says, in the last days. Not just people on the street, but the government institutions pushing drugs on the people. So, look, this is going to continue to happen. Run from this kind of stuff. It is only going to make them that much worse. And really, these psychedelic drugs, Greg, they cause mental illness. They cause mental illness. This is the destruction of our military who need help. It makes me angry.
It's very angering. All right, speaking of things that make you angry.
Yes.
Let's go to the one world government.
Yes.
This is from Time. The World Economic Forum says that AI, artificial intelligence misinformation, is the world's biggest short-term threat, I submit to you the World Economic Forum is the world's biggest threat.
Well, Greg, what a deception this is, because I'm going to read some of the article, but I got to make the statement first of all. Look, AI is just getting the information that's out there, bringing it together. The problem is it's not going to line up with what they're saying.
Exactly.
And when it doesn't line up with what they're saying, they're going to say, look at the misinformation that automatic, artificial intelligence is putting out there. Notice false and misleading information supercharged with cutting-edge artificial intelligence that threatens to erode democracy and polarize society is the top immediate risk for the global economy, World Economic Forum said in a report on Wednesday. In its latest global risks report, the organization, otherwise known as Satan's Den, also said an array of environmental risks, that part in italics, risk pose the biggest threats to the longer term. The report was released ahead of the annual elite gathering of the CEOs and world leaders in the Swiss ski resort town of Davos, and is based on the survey of nearly 1,500 experts.
They were reducing their carbon footprint by flying in their private jets.
Yes, and melting the snow.
Yes.
The report listed misinformation. I didn't know she would be there. And disinformation as the most severe risk over the next 2 years, highlighting how rapid advances in technology also are creating new problems and making existing ones worse. Now, this works both ways, Greg. You have AI is going to be putting real information out there that's going to bother them. They're going to say, this is misinformation. It's messed up. It's gathering stuff that whatever. But they also are intentionally working in misinformation on their end. Remember, AI does what you program it.
Yeah, listen, it's just a AI on one level is just a smarter Google search.
It is. But here's the thing. You can still go out there and get facts with AI.
Yes.
And then AI can put your slant, whoever programmed it, can put your slant on what those facts mean. So it's going to work both ways. They're going to put out false information through AI, and yeah, that'll be fine. But if any real information gets out, they're going to say, look at this. This is a big problem. This is, here she is again, misinformation.
Misinformation.
And so we need to catch her and do away with her, et cetera. So, but it's going to be interesting to watch this develop.
Oh, my. Speaking of developing, as everything is made in China, this is from Newsmax.com. China is now entered the chat.
China.
Yes. And is urging a ceasefire and a two-state solution amid Hamas aggression.
Here it
goes. Now here's their 2 cents for a two-state solution.
Here's the yes. It is. Not. It's not just America. It's other people now chiming in. You got to do the two-state. You're going to see this continue to grow.
This could lead into a lot of a Zechariah 12, correct?
Yes. I think it is already.
It already is.
That is, again, the world turning against Israel.
Yeah.
Chinese Foreign Minister Wang Yi urged international pressure to end Israel's war against Hamas in Gaza and called for the implementation of a two-state solution. So now we have other voices coming in. Amid continued aggression by the terror organization Hamas against Israel. And I quote, China calls for the convening of a larger scale, more authoritative and more effective, I would say more authoritative should be capitalized because that's how they do it.
Yes.
And a more effective international peace conference, the formulation of a specific timetable and roadmap for the implementation of a two-state solution and support for the prompt resumption of Israel-Palestinian peace talks, the foreign minister of China said. Again, he says influential countries in particular need to play an objective, impartial and constructive role in this regard. Read the official joint Egyptian-Chinese statement. You can if you want to read the full article, which we're not going to do. But anyway, the bottom line, you're hearing more voices. Here it goes. They're hearing voices, Greg. They're hearing voices. Yeah. And now it's voices from China. And so there you have it. And you're going to hear more of that. And so, again, the more pressure, this is going to make everybody hate Israel all the more if they don't give in and turn them more ready to just annihilate, which is not going to happen because God won't let it.
Exactly.
But the Antichrist is going to come in and rescue everybody and make everybody happy for a short amount of time.
Yes.
End quote.
We are the world.
Yes, that's right.
All right, let's take a look at some growing anti-Semitism, also known as Jew hatred.
Right.
Jew hate. This is from Fox News, dated January 20th. Some D.C. residents are saying that anti-Semitic incidents in the U.S. is getting much worse.
Now, remember, we've been reading these articles about how it's getting worse over and over for a long time, right?
Oh, yeah.
This is even now, they're saying exponential above the much worse. So it's once you hear this so much, I think you kind of go to sleep to it. It's like, yeah. But they're saying,
but not us.
It's on a new push.
Yes, it's on a new push.
It's a new level. Again, the Americans in the national America's national capital weighed in on anti-Semitism in the U.S. since Hamas attacked Israel, with most telling Fox News that hate against the Jews has gotten worse in recent months, again, since this attack. And I quote, it's rather shocking, actually, how many people side with anti-Semitism and just hating people, that is, hating the Jews, if you will. Corey of Washington told the Fox News, it has gotten much worse. But Joe, Another said that anti-Israel rhetoric, not anti-Semitism, has increased. And I quote, there's a confusion between anti-Semitism and anti-Israel, he said. I don't think it's directed at Jews. I think it's directed at Israel's handling of the Palestinians. No, wrong. Of course, look, they hate the Jews. Satan is using his influence to get people to hate the Jews. This just gives another excuse to hate the nation because of what they're doing. So they hate both. Steve, another one they interviewed, said anti-Semitism at colleges has gotten worse in particular. Now, we've all seen that and we know that. But what they found is that it's not just now growing like it's been. It's exponential all of a sudden. You're seeing, and I think it's always been there kind of in the shadows. But it's like now when somebody steps out boldly, then others step out boldly against Israel. And by the way, believer, it goes both ways. When believers stay in the shadows, people stay quiet. But when believers get bold and step out, now you see boldness in believers as well. So we need to be just as bold about God and the word of God as the enemy is bold about Satan and the things of Satan. And so you're going to see more and more tensions. Zechariah talks about the fact the whole world is going to turn against Israel, Matthew 24, after the rapture takes place, says they're going to hate them so much, they'll be putting them to death and thinking they're doing God a service and all this. So again, there's a lot of things coming up. The Jews have a rough road ahead of them.
Absolutely, they do. Speaking of rough roads, let's go down the road of pestilence, plagues, disasters, and always heavy on the corruption.
Yes.
This is from Breitbart.com, dated January 12th. The WHO, not the band.
That's right.
But the World Health Organization has picked a trans activist, or picked trans activists in plural, to set global child-rearing rules.
Sounds smart to me.
And what's even better about this panel is that less than half of the panel has an actual medical background. So this is affirmative action really applied to prophecy.
Yeah. It is so in your face reverse of right now, Greg, that it's shocking.
Shocking.
It's like they pick the most absurd and corrupt, immoral person to be around the children who need the best morals and protection they can get. This is Satan at work. Again, we're not fighting against the WHO. Again, we're fighting against the demonic realm. And so it says the United Nations Healthcare Organization, again, has given this to these panels to these people. One of the supposed experts displays a be gay and do crimes tattoo. Here's your encouragement. Be gay and do crimes.
Do crimes. Wow.
I mean, I look at this and go, he's got do crimes. Go break the law written on his skin. This is the person you want to be watching after children? I don't think so. 11 members of the WHO's 21-member panel, as you read in the headlines, have no formal medical training. 7 are transgender. Just 10 have a medical background. Another of the WHO's committee members says the transitioning causes no health problems and claims the only actual side effects of getting a sex change are significantly improved quality of life and trans joy. That is such a demonic lie. It destroys lives. It takes away the identity that God gave them. So there's an emotional destruction. It takes away the body that God gave them. There's a physical destruction. And it takes away the opportunity for their soul to be saved if they don't repent, which is a spiritual devastation. It is tragic on every level. It is evil. And we see just again, we got the last days, Satan is throwing out everything he can. We've got to fight and stand up against it in love, but speak the truth because this stuff is evil.
Yahoo.com dated January 15th, the president of Iceland says they are facing a daunting period after lava from a volcano has destroyed homes in a fishing town. So this was a few weeks ago.
Yes.
You might have an update on this or not, but still this is.
I don't have an update, but again, this comes out of Romans 8:22, where the earth is groaning for the return of the Lord. We're going to see more of this in the last days. Yeah. He talks about as the earth is now convulsing to give birth to the new kingdom. So we're told this kind of stuff will happen. It's going to increase. Iceland's president said the country's battling tremendous forces of nature after molten lava from a volcano in the island's southwest consumed several houses in the evacuated town of Grindavik. Scientists said Monday that the eruption appeared to be dying down, but it was too soon to declare the danger over. Iceland's meteorological office said it is difficult to estimate how long this eruption will last. President Gudni said in a television address late Sunday that a daunting period of upheaval has begun on the peninsula, where a long dormant volcano system has awakened. So this is why a sign of the last days, Greg. This was a dormant volcano system. This wasn't current active volcanoes. They had gone dormant. They were dead. They've now sprung to life because the earth is grumbling. And this is interesting to me because, again, I believe this may come into play in the Russian-Iranian invasion of these cone volcanoes that right now have been dormant for thousands of years. there in Israel's northern area where they're going to be coming across because of the grumbling of the earth, the Romans 8:22, the earth groaning for the return of the Lord. And so I think you're going to see more of these volcanic, these dead volcanoes coming back to life or dormant volcanoes springing back to life because the earth is groaning and grumbling. We're going to see more of that in the last days. And again, especially interesting in light of the fact that you may see this come into play in this Russian-Iranian invasion. I'm not saying it will happen. The Bible doesn't say that. That is just me thinking of a possible way it could happen.
Based on what Ezekiel is describing.
It is based on what Ezekiel describes and the fact that God gets all the glory and no man.
Yes.
But we can't say for sure.
Yeah.
So I just say that so in case it doesn't happen, that I don't get stoned to death as a false prophet.
Okay, well, maybe you can say, maybe you can be certain on this. When you talked about the earth groaning to usher in the new kingdom,
yes.
You can clarify for our listeners what you mean by new kingdom.
That's a great point because not everybody would know that.
Yes.
The Bible says when Jesus comes back at the second coming, he will establish
to begin the millennial reign.
He will establish his rulership over the earth for 1,000 years. And that's the millennial kingdom. That's the millennial reign. Jesus ruling on the earth for 1,000 years. It has to take place because of what it says in Isaiah 9:6, that Christmas verse we always use.
Yeah.
The government will rest upon his shoulders.
Yeah.
That's never happened yet. He's never had the government upon his shoulders. He will have to have that take place. It'll happen during the 1,000-year reign. And then at the end of the 1,000-year reign, he will destroy the current earth and heavens, and he'll make a new heaven and a new earth, it says there at the end of Revelation, where we will live forever in a place that has never been tainted by sin.
Yeah. So even the earth is anxious to get through this time period, to get through the great tribulation as well.
Yes.
To get to that time when God is ruling and reigning, he puts his foot on the Mount of Olives,
yes.
It splits, the water comes out,
that's
it
right.
heals, brings the Dead Sea to life, heals all the
right.
oceans.
That's right.
Anyway, it's wonderful.
It is wonderful.
All right, Fox News, dated January 17th, Zambia is grappling with its worst cholera outbreak in 2 decades.
Yeah, now this is interesting because cholera can be a killer. And by the way, you know, the Lord said in Matthew 24, in the last days, you will see plagues increase. So the outbreak started in October, affecting nearly half of the African country's districts. Zambia is facing severe cholera outbreak with over 400 deaths so far and 10,000 infections, leading to the closure of schools nationwide. Secondly, a soccer stadium, it says, in the capital has been converted into a treatment facility to handle the high number of cases. And lastly, it says the government is implementing a mass vaccination program and providing 2.4 million vaccines for those that are affected or whatever. So you're seeing this cholera outbreak. You're going to see more of this. Matthew 24, the Lord said it's going to increase like a woman having birth pangs. And not to mention the one we're going to have here, I think, worldwide again coming up sometime in the summer or fall. They're already announcing it. So they are.
Yeah, I know.
Disease X, they call it. We'll get to that. Yeah, we'll talk about that on a different show.
Yes,
yes.
We will. All right, but it's time for church. And I teased at the beginning of the program, we had a prayer request for you, and this is really what this prayer request is about. It's about praying for our Christian brethren in India. This is from persecution.com, the voice of the martyrs, and a prayer for India, and Pastor Mark will explain what's going on over there.
Yeah, again, listen to what it says. Under Prime Minister Narendra Modi, the Hindu nationalist organization, RSS, has seen a 20% increase in membership. Its emboldened base seeks to forcibly unite India under Hinduism, despite the country's great diversity of languages, cultures, and religions. Although Prime Minister Modi has publicly said his government will not tolerate religious discrimination, his actions have proved otherwise. Welcome to worldwide politics.
Yes.
Vague policies such as laws forbidding the conversion of Hindus have passed in several Indian states, and the push for a similar federal law has gained support. The state anti-conversion laws have long been used against pastors, church planters, and evangelists. Conversely, reconversion ceremonies known as Ghar Wapsi, or homecoming, which return Indians to Hinduism, sometimes by force, have been increasingly common. Despite greater government restrictions on Christianity, churches are growing. Now, always, when the enemy brings in persecution against the church, it always grows. It doesn't matter how much Ghar Wapsi they hit you with, you're going to end up getting stronger in the Lord and walking closer to the Lord. But again, it's sad, you know, Greg, because again, it's that same spirit of forcing all to come under that religion. It's interesting because it's kind of a foreshadow of the Antichrist, who will force everyone to bow down and worship him worldwide and nobody will be able to stop it. It's just going to take place.
Yeah, great or small.
Absolutely.
All right, our next article comes from Fox News, dated January 26th. A religious studies professor supports trans rights, claiming the Bible portrays gender as a colorful spectrum. Please show your homework, professor.
Yes, I'll tell you, Greg, here's the thing I've noticed before I even get into this article. How much bolder Satan is getting. And I say Satan because, remember, we don't battle against flesh and blood, the Bible says, but powers and principalities in heavenly places. So it doesn't matter this professor's name or who she is. It's the enemy working through mankind, because the Bible says the whole world's under the sway of the evil one. And so what Satan is doing is, I've noticed a change here, and it started about maybe a year, maybe as much as 2 years ago. I forget when I started noticing. There's an uptick in the boldness of who's doing it. In other words, it used to be my whole life, it was always, there were demonic things happening, but Satan's name was never brought up. And it was never connected to Satanism. It was just kind of, oh, this is what's happening, this vote, that group, they're pushing this. Now it is like Satanism. There, people are coming out saying, I'm getting involved in Satanism. We worship Satan. Lucifer, his name's being used. And so when you see, you're going to see more and more, I believe, of Lucifer and Satan being spoken of and used. And the reason being is, I think as we get closer to the return of the appearance of the Antichrist, Satan's going to get bolder and bolder. Remember, if he's going to be worshipped, Greg, he's got to be openly worshipped. And I think when he gets up there in the Antichrist, demands the world to worship him, the Bible says Satan will inhabit him. He'll be possessed.
Yeah.
And I believe Satan will say, I'm Lucifer. I think he's going to say, I'm Satan. I think he'll just tell people. That the Bible doesn't say that.
No.
But I think he's going to come right out at that point and say it. And
why
say,
not?
You've got to bow down to Satan now and worship Satan. I'm him. He's in me. I think it's going to happen. We'll find out. But again, it goes right in line with what this article. Notice what it says. It says, Catholic University professor says biblical scripture and trans rights are not at odds. The Bible supports the, these are all lies, but I'm just going to say that, here we go. She said the Bible supports the idea that individuals can change their gender, according to a Catholic University professor in Ohio. That is nonsense. It's just ridiculous. Listen to some of the things she says. Now, remember, first you have to dumb down a society on what the Bible says. And then you can step in as the authority, air quotes, and say, here's what the Bible really says. Well, the Bible doesn't say this because I know the Bible. University of Dayton professor Esther Brown-Smith listed, and I quote, a few of the ways that scripture portrays gender as a colorful spectrum, not a rigid binary. In response to a vote Wednesday by Ohio lawmakers to override the governor's recent veto of a bill that prohibits biological males from competing in women's sports and restricts sex change treatment for minors. So the fact they're getting pushback on trying to make these children have these surgeries and ruin their lives and maybe their eternity, they're coming out to say, oh, it's not only is it okay, but now they're trying to get those grave that can speak supposedly as authorities for the Bible to justify it. And I want to say this. It's bad enough if you support this kind of abuse on children or anyone for that matter. But when you do it in the name of God, oh my goodness. You talk about judgment on judgment day. You talk about better a millstone hung around your neck and you thrown into the sea, you know, than to cause these little ones to stumble. She claimed Joseph was one of many people in the Bible, get this, who crossed gender boundaries. There's no even tiny indication that Joseph, it's just ridiculous.
But it's like, do your homework. Cite the scriptures.
They twist it. Then she said, Deborah led an army. Well, so what? Deborah led an army because the men were too wimpy is what it says. Doesn't mean Deborah was a man. Mordecai, listen, this one kills me.
I know.
Mordecai breastfed his cousin Esther.
Where is that in scripture?
That is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard in my life. You know, Greg, I let me just finish this. I'm going to call that. And Daniel's probably a eunuch. So what? Daniel was a eunuch. That doesn't mean that they may have made him be a eunuch. He didn't choose to be a eunuch.
They made him be.
That's exactly right. They made him
be a eunuch. He wasn't born that way.
No. So, but this thing, that Mordecai breastfed his cousin, I know for a fact that couldn't have happened because, again, I had a friend who tried that. They're with the baby and they were afraid because the mom wasn't around. They didn't have a bottle. They thought they'd pacify him. It literally tried to breastfeed the baby. This was years ago.
Yeah.
And it's just a normal guy. He said that baby screamed their brains out, furious at him. It was like, I don't... anyway, that kind of getting sidetracked there, but that's kind of a funny story of somebody who tried something very silly. But it shows the ignorance here and the evil.
Yeah.
I go on with the quote.
Yeah.
Here's what gets me. Oh, my goodness. Even God is sometimes described with feminine language. Probably what she's grabbing is, she goes on to say, as a midwife or nursing mother. No, that's ridiculous. Probably, though, when God talks about, I took you as a mother would take her child, he'll use analogies.
Analogies,
and so they're trying to act like that means that maybe God is like more than one gender, blah, blah, blah.
You know, it's funny, Pastor Mark, they'll take the Bible literally when it's fits their agenda. That's eisegeting.
That's right.
Instead of just taking God's word for what it says and accepting what it says.
That's right. Right. That's exactly right. Yeah. So again, it's just a twisting of the scripture, and it is demonic. It reminds you of Satan in the garden. Has God really said? And then he twisted the scripture. Eve bought into the deception. And then, of course, now we have the mess we have. But Satan is the same. God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Yeah. Well, so is Satan. He's the same way, and he's pulling the same tricks. And she said this in an opinion piece that was published in the Dayton Daily News on Thursday, in which she identified herself as a Christian. Well, you know, you can identify yourself as a Christian, but if you're living like a dragon, you're not a Christian. You can say anything you want. Matter of fact, it talks about when the false prophet, the Antichrist, come, they're going to look like a lamb but speak like a dragon.
Wow.
Here's somebody who's trying to look like a lamb, but speaks like a dragon. And I quote, "Yes, the Bible was written in a patriarchal time, but it recognizes that people reimagined and reshaped their gender identities back then, just like they do today." That is a lie. It is demonic. It is evil.
Yeah.
And let me address this whole thing about the Bible for just a moment here, because we have the time to do
it. Please, yes.
For those of you who heard people say the Bible's outdated, first of all, grasp this. The Bible is outside of time. Here's what the Bible says. God took his word. God is outside of time. God doesn't exist in time. He's an eternal being. He took his eternal word, which is outside of time, and sent it into time, our world, to reach us. See, when God created the earth, he created time. He started the rotation of the sun, the moon, the earth, and that created time. It's like those are like the clocks working in a giant clock. It keeps days. Matter of fact, where did we get 7 days? That comes straight from the Bible. There's no reason for 7 days other than God said so. We get 7 days. I mean, all these things are set up by God. He did the times and the seasons, and he created time. Now remember, as the creator of time, he's outside of it as an eternal being looking into his creation. Here's this universe that now has time because I put all these things into play and let's whatever. Now, I'm going to take my word, which has no beginning, has no end, lasts forever, it's eternal. I'm going to send it inside of time and give it to my prophets. They're going to write down what my eternal word says and share it with man so they can be a part of my eternity. So here's the point. You cannot outdate something that's not dateable. It has no time connected. It's from eternity beginning, which we can't even imagine. There is no beginning. It's just eternity front and end, if you want to put it that way. So you can't say it's outdated. Now, here's where people get that. And this is where Satan deceives people. Because language from hundreds of years ago is used, for example, the New King James, all the these, thous, whatever. People read that and say, oh, that book's outdated. Why? Because it has these and thous. Well, it was just something that was eternal that was brought in hundreds of years ago. It's the same thing. Now we bring it in our day and put it in modern day language. So it's just the wording that's used. You cannot outdate or say something is outdated that has no time stamp on it. So don't ever let somebody try to tell you that. They don't understand what they're talking about. God's word is eternal. It has always existed, and it always will exist.
Yeah. And all the more reason why we as Christians need to know our Bible. Hosea 4:6, my people perish for lack of knowledge.
Yeah.
So when articles like this come up and people say, oh, well, the Bible says this.
Yeah.
If you don't know your Bible, then how are you going to refute that?
That's right.
But if you know what Scripture says, then you know that they're lying, that they're deceiving.
Right.
And you can challenge them on where they find this in Scripture.
That's right.
And that's within your right to do. As a Christian, you know what God's Word says. Challenge them to understand it better.
Yeah.
Because, you know, maybe God, by the power of His Holy Spirit, as you explain the truth of His Word to this person that is trying to twist it, God might just bop them over the head supernaturally and wake them up.
Yeah, and here's the thing. Believer, listen, you've also got to take the Word of God literally for what it says.
Yeah.
Again, I know that the Bible uses symbols and images, but those symbols and images all have a literal meaning. If you look behind the symbol and the image, you'll always find the literal meaning. Now, why do I stress this? Because if God didn't expect us to understand it literally, there's no way we could really understand it, because you could take anything in the Bible and allegorize it. You can take anything and give it the meaning you want it to have. So when you're talking to these people that say, yeah, but here's what it really means. Whoa, here's what it says. We're going to hold to what it says based on the context and what it means, because it's literal. God said it. If you don't do that, here's what happens. The person making the argument now becomes the authority. So they're saying, they don't really, but in the argument they do, because they're saying, here's what it really means. No. We have to hold true to God's word as literal, or else God's word loses its authority. Who's ever sharing it from the pulpit or the street or the argument, they now are the authority over the word of God, which is nonsense, because they're not. No, you've got to say, I'm sorry, the word of God's the authority. You can't usurp it. Here's what it says. Here's what it means. Here's the context. Here's the whole thing. And then that holds you in line and in place of really being able to argue the scriptures based on what it says.
Amen.
Yes. Amen. Yes.
All right, let's end our show with some good news, and we're going to kind of circle back to Gaza. And this is from ChristianHeadlines.com. An ex-terrorist predicts that thousands of Gazans will accept Jesus. Please explain.
This is so exciting, and I'm gonna cover this, then jump back to Israel before we're done as
Because
the same thing's happening with Israel. God is using the. Listen, guys, God uses everything. There is nothing wasted. There's no time wasted. God uses it all. Listen to what it says. Yazir Taz Abu Sa'ada, a former member of the Fatah terrorist group, who became a Christian in the 1990s, told Joel Rosenberg, an American-Israeli communications strategist, that he believes Gazans will convert from Islam to Christianity due to the war and being lied to by Hamas. And I quote, "Hamas is an ideology that is spread among many people, not only in the Gaza Strip, but all over the world." Sa'ada explained on the Rosenberg report from TBN. He said, however, God has a plan, and I believe the Arabs and the Jews' plan is also a part of that, and that is where my hope is. That is why I'm back in the Holy Land to move to the Gaza Strip and take part in the rebuilding, he added. I believe with all the destruction, with all that happened, with the hardship the Palestinians have gone through, they cannot sit back but will ask, why? God is going to do a lot of work in the Gaza because of this, and I want to be a part of it. So what he's saying is, look, this tragedy, God's going to take this tragedy, and God's going to use it to turn people to him, which he always does. He takes ashes and makes beauty out of it. He's going to use this war and this battle to rescue them. I mean, again, in many ways, Greg, it's an act of mercy to break them. You think about, what if something didn't happen, and they all ended up being eternally separated from God in the lake of fire? This gives them an opportunity for salvation. So, well, a lot of people, why would God allow this? Well, God may be allowing it to fill the kingdom up, and that's what he's doing. So you're going to see, I believe, Gazans come to the Lord through this, get saved through this because of the desperation in their life and the failure of Islam and their whole system and Hamas and all that. But this is also something I've been saying is going to happen with the nation of Israel. Remember, people say, why would God allow this to happen to Israel? Remember, you've got unbelievers who are destined for eternal hell. If you allow this kind of thing, I'm not saying God caused it. I'm not saying God did it, the war or what happened in Israel. I'm saying God allowed it. Why? To break the nation, to turn them in their hearts toward God, to repent and say, you know what? We need God. We need help. We're being destroyed, and God is going to use this. I believe this is the process of not just saving Gazans, but I believe, Greg, this is the process of turning the nation back to the Lord, because the Bible says in the last days, again, connected to that Ezekiel war, that battle with Russia and Iran, that God's going to pour out his spirit on the nation of Israel, and we're going to see again the 144,000 saved right away, and then many more saved after that, as God does a great work in bringing the nation of Israel to believe in Jesus Christ and salvation through Jesus Christ. So although these wars are horrible, although what happened October 7th is horrible, God is wonderful, and God can and will use this, I believe, to bring many into the kingdom, and some are already, it's already happening. Soldiers now are asking about Jesus. They're singing songs about the coming Messiah. Now, they might not believe it's Jesus, but they're looking for the Messiah. Some are asking about Jesus. God is already at work in their lives. And you know, when I think about this, what God is doing, maybe God is doing that in you today. Maybe right now, God is working in your life and in your heart, allowing destructive things to take place, and you don't know the Lord. And God is saying, why would God allow this? My life's falling apart. Here's why God would allow it. Because if God doesn't do something to get your attention and break you, you're going to be eternally separated from God in what the Bible calls a lake of fire. And the only way you can be rescued and saved from that is to turn from your sin, to put your faith and belief in Jesus Christ, to believe he died for your sins, and then to receive him. Not just believe. The demons believe, but they're not going to be in heaven. You've got to believe and then receive by saying, yes, I give my life to you. I turn from my sins, which is what repentance means. Thank you for dying for me on the cross. I take your blood to pay for my sin. And the Bible says if you do that, you'll be born again and you'll be saved. So God allows these things in our life to break us, to bring us to a place of repentance and salvation. And if that's you today, I want to encourage you right now to pray right where you are. Ask God to forgive you of your sins. Tell him you believe Jesus died for you on the cross, and for your sins, his blood washes them away. Repent, turn away from your sin. Don't just believe, receive Jesus Christ as your Lord, and you'll be born again and have your place secure in the kingdom of God, which, by the way, is very close for every one of us as we watch what's happening in the last days.
I was going to say, 2024 is probably going to be a very remarkable year
Absolutely.
When it comes to Bible prophecy.
Absolutely.
So don't delay. Today is the day of salvation.
That's right.
Pastor Mark, thank you so much. Folks, don't forget thewaymedia.net for all things Signs of the Times related and other things we offer from Calvary Knoxville. Have a great week, and we'll see you back next Friday at 1:30 for more Signs of the Times on WIAM.